Við skulum ekki vakum til marnætur. Það margt sem myrkrið veit, minn hugur þungur.
Welcome to Eerie Iceland. Whether you're captivated by folklore, paranormal, sorcery, the hidden people, haunted things, people or locations in Iceland, you've come to the right place. Here, you'll venture into the dark side of Iceland. I'm Anne.
I'm Vanessa. We're two girl bosses who are obsessed with all of these things. Will you dare to follow us into this unexplainable realm?
All right, Eerie Iceland. Hello, hello. Back in the studio with us is the human encyclopedia, Davíð Geirjónsson.
Hi, everyone.
And we have Vanessa.
Yay!
Woohoo! And we have myself, Anne. Yay! Okay, so Davíð, when did you first hear about trolls existing?
Probably 3 years old or something. They've terrified me my whole life.
Yeah, I know. I remember hearing some of the stories, and we'll save that one for a future episode because the story you've previously told me still terrifies me. But Vanessa, tell me about when you first hear about trolls existing.
Well, I've always been kind of a city girl, so I didn't see a lot of rock formations growing up. And so I think I probably first heard about them when I was in elementary school. So like first grade, probably.
Seriously. And are you living here or are you living in Arizona?
I'm living here. But because, like I said, I'm not like visiting, like I didn't probably hadn't seen me get that time or anything like that. So, yeah, I'm guessing like my memory is not great from that time. So,
OK, so for me, I think it was in the 90s. I'm dating myself a whole lot since I'm a heck of a lot older than both of you guys. And I was watching my grandma volunteer at church bingo. Yep, bingo. And I'd watch folks like set up their little troll dolls with the crazy fluorescent hair. If you guys can picture this with me, if any of you guys are 90s kids out there. And I would watch them set them up and then while they were playing bingo, they would run their hands on top of the hair to touch the hair, or they would touch the little bejeweled belly of the troll for luck. Almost like it was like a little superstitious act for them to win at bingo. Hmm. Like this was like a thing. Like, can you picture those like little trolls?
Yeah, actually, now that you say it, I was like, oh, well, I knew what those trolls were before grade school, but like actual trolls, like the story of trolls. I didn't know about them.
Okay, fair. So fast forward years later, when I start traveling around the world, I quickly realize how different trolls are actually depicted in like cultures and time and places of countries. And after all, do you remember when we went to Norway together for that wedding that we did several years back in the Geiranger Fjord?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, there were so many trolls over there.
They were everywhere. Like the huge statues in that fjord. I mean, granted, it was also like a cruise ship stop, so they probably wanted to really play it up. But it was nuts on the amount of trolls. But I think that like Icelandic trolls are way more intense than what the Norwegian folks depict them as.
Yeah, totally. I see you brought one of yours today as your prop, I'm presuming.
Yeah.
That's one ugly troll.
I know. Like, do you think so? And do you recognize her?
Oh, it's Grilla, isn't it? Do you have this in your house?
I mean, not like everyday wear, but she comes out at Christmas because, like, that's a thing.
Yeah. Oh, you can recognize it's Grilla by the little sack of children she's carrying.
I haven't seen that. There's kids in the sack. That's gross.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that. Oh my God, there is children. Okay, so folks, just to give you a real description of this, I actually didn't even pay attention when I bought this. I only looked that she had. So there is I'm going to share this maybe to our Instagram today, but Grilla is very rubbery nose with little devil horn looking things with a very happy expression on her face with a walking stick and tattered patched clothes. And she's holding a green sack. And on the green sack are two children actually coming out of the sack. And yeah, this is actually made by like Brian Pilkington. So we'll give a shout out. And if you guys want to purchase any of these, we'll give a link back in the show notes today because it's horrific. I'll be honest.
And there are other details. Have you ever noticed her tail?
No, but I just noticed the hooves. She's got hooves on this. Like,
okay, Anne, I will say, I think you've passed me. And I think you've become more Icelandic than me because there is no way in hell I would have a statue like that in my house.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I have been then. That's great. Yay. I like that.
Icelandic Anne.
So trolls hold an important and significant place in Icelandic folklore. In fact, Vanessa, do you remember where some people believe trolls actually are derived from?
No, I don't remember.
Okay, let me jot your memory because remember back in episode number 5 when I was talking about the origins of the huldufólk, the Icelandic hidden people? Mm-hmm. And how the last story I told was about how God tried to create women, like a woman out of dirt, but she was untamable. So God then decided to make man from her image instead. And I mentioned that from there, Elf and Alvor, the woman, is where all elves and trolls are actually descendants of. So that's like the most hardcore, you know, story that I can kind of like attribute the origin to. Although that is one origin story, today we're going to venture into the mysterious Icelandic folklore realm to uncover the origins of trolls. And I'm going to tell you about the most famous rock trolls that are scattered throughout the Icelandic countryside. So how do you picture what a troll looks like, Vanessa?
Well, Vanessa's imaginary trolls are just really big people. I mean, they might not have the nicest facial structure, but I believe they're just normal people like us, just like before our time, and less pretty.
Less pretty.
Yeah.
Okay. Davi?
I've always imagined them as being quite large. Their features are rough and worn. Their skin is like leathery and almost stone-like.
Ooh, that's actually a really good description. Stone-like.
Yeah, they don't take a lot of care for their appearance. And they're dumb, but smart at the same time. They have magical powers, reclusive.
I like it. And personally, I think the perfect depiction is actually the one that is at the beginning of the Flyover Iceland experience. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you done the experience, Vanessa, at Flyover Iceland?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I remember that guy.
So I don't remember what the name was, but I picture like really exaggerated facial features, almost kind of like rubbery-like, and that they tower over humans. You know, they're like well above, like even if Davith is, you know, 6'5" or 6'7" or whatever, he's even like the trolls are like 7 feet, 9 feet, you know, just massive, right? And then they possess great strength, but then are also like big dumb brutes in a way. And then they also like, I always feel like every story that I read has like a greedy vibe about it as well. So like you think that they want to have their cake and eat it too, kind of vibes, right? So the first mention of trolls in Icelandic literature dates back as far as the 13th century in the Snorra Edda, where the words troll and trollkona, which translates to troll woman, are actually found. Also know that some of the stories are passed verbally. They date back as far as the 9th century. So there's some history here, right? Trolls are often described as having magical powers, as Davith alluded to a few moments ago, or very magical features about them. And according to Icelandic legends, trolls are supernatural beings, often depicted as large, almost giant-like, and powerful. And for sure menacing, and at times malicious creatures. Also, everything that you will read about trolls, you'll find that they live in remote, rocky landscapes, like cliffs, caves, and extremely hidden places. So a little bit in the same line as the fabulous hidden people, it kind of feels like, right? Because those were similar dwellings that those folks had as well. Some locals refer to them as giants or rock dwellers, in addition to the word troll. These names not only reflect the physical characteristics of the trolls, but the underlying belief in their existence. And many names around Iceland actually have troll backgrounds, such as Trollkirkja, Trolls Church, Trollaskogar, Trolls Forest, Trollagata, Trolls Street. These names incorporate the natural landscapes with clearly intertwined with troll mythology, right? So do you think that the names of those places that are named after trolls because of the experiences that have happened there? Like on Trollgata, Troll Street, did someone encounter a troll there and live to tell about it? What do you guys think?
Yes, exactly what's happened. It's all over the place. For example, a place that many people have gone to that have visited Iceland will be Seljalandsfoss. And the river comes from a canyon called Tröllagil or Troll Canyon. And supposedly there was a troll woman that lived in there. And if you were one of the farmers herding your sheep in summer or late autumn, you should avoid that canyon as much as you could so you wouldn't be kidnapped by the troll woman. And this was doubly important if you were handsome and fair.
Okay. Do you think you'd get snatched up by a troll woman?
Possibly. I don't know.
I like it.
I wouldn't want it happening. It's quite rough. They keep you imprisoned. And
do they eat people?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I mean, Grilla does.
Like, don't worry. But, don't worry. I've got so much for you today, Vanessa. Just wait.
But in my mind, they're these like cute, dumb, well, not cute, these ugly, dumb people.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Menacing.
Okay.
Around. Yeah. Okay. So from everything that I read, it's said that trolls are said to not be Christianized and that they sustain themselves through hunting, fishing, and tricking humans for food or eating them. And most of the Icelandic folklore stories that we have tell us of trolls turning to stone when exposed to direct sunlight, which means they rumble around at dusk in winter and when no sun appears, right? And of course, at night, earning them truly the name Nöit troll or night trolls. Throughout Icelandic folklore, also, numerous sayings shed light on troll behavior, ranging from praise to disdain. For example, comparing someone's stupefied expression is like a troll staring into heaven, which reflects the agnostic relationship between trolls and Christianity, right? Because they don't believe. Yet there are also positive sayings like trolletrig or tritletrig, meaning trustworthy as a troll, which highlights the traits of being loyal and dependable that the trolls are. And in most stories that I know and have read, trolls always keep their word when they tell us. All right, guys, are you guys ready to take a journey through the realms of Icelandic troll folklore?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, go for it, Dan.
All right, so likely you guys have all heard the story of the famous trolls, Grilla, Lapaluthi, and their sons, the Icelandic Yule lads. And hands down, Grilla is probably the most feared troll when it comes to any thought of trolls, right? Because she comes down from the mountains, you know, as I've depicted in my prop for today's episode. She comes down from the mountains to capture misbehaving children that didn't get clothes or have been naughty, or she sends down her giant troll cat to come down and eat them, right? And she's accompanied by her 13 mischievous sons, the Yule lads, who are known for their tricks. They all have tricky names and all of that, but I'm not going to dive into today about their history and their story, as we'll save that for a future episode. Maybe it'll be like our Christmas episode. Let's see. I just wanted to jot your memory before we dive into today's episode about Icelandic rock trolls to give you a little bit connection before we dive in. So trolls are more often than not associated with natural rock formations. And their stories serve as a way for Icelanders to explain the many geological features that are unique and or unexplainable. And some stories of rock trolls also serve as a cautionary tale for visitors and locals alike. For example, there is a specific belief that certain rock formations are actually trolls who were caught in the sunlight and turned to stone. These rocks are also known in Icelandic as trollaberg, or they're said to resemble trolls frozen in various poses, places, and shapes. In fact, in many locations, you can point out faces that you see in the stones that look like trolls. Vanessa, do you remember when we set up that fabulous luxury picnic at Trollafoss last year? Troll Waterfall?
Oh, it was gorgeous.
It was like in the middle of a stunning waterfall, and there were like two trolls facing each other on either side of the waterfall.
It was epic. It was beautiful.
And that was named Trollafoss. That's a super fun fact. And I didn't even include it into our episode today.
Yay. I mean, you did now.
I did now, a little tidbit. Okay. So, all right, today I'm going to share about four super well-known ones that can be found throughout the Icelandic countryside. And good news, listeners, you guys can easily pay a visit to each one if you guys want. I'll also throw in the bonus story of one of my personal favorite giant rock trolls that is in the Icelandic Highlands as a bonus for you guys today. Okay, well, the first well-known example is called Crete Seeker, which translates to white shirt. It is a 15-meter high or 50 feet high basalt stack that's located off the shores of Vatnes Peninsula in northwestern Iceland. Some say that it looks like a dragon or a rhino drinking water. And at low tide, you guys can hike down from the cliffs right up to it. Touch it, feel it, look at it, take tons of photos around it. And at high tide, the best viewing is from the top of the cliffs, or you walk along the edge and hike down a tiny bit. This iconic landmark is so beautiful that I could honestly stay all day here with a bottle of champagne or two and a charcuterie board. I seriously am not joking. All day here. Vanessa, have you been?
I have not.
What?
Sounds like a road trip.
Yeah, it sounds like champagne and a charcuterie board is like on the agenda.
Let's just go right now. I'm just kidding.
David, you and I have been there together.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah. I don't think we had champagne. No. I think I talked about wanting it.
Yeah, I think we were like going somewhere.
I think so too. But what do you think? Do you think it looks like a rhino? Like, do you think it looks like a dragon looking like drinking water? What do you think?
I think it looks like a troll. And yeah. It's almost like a giant person. It's been frozen there in time.
Agreed. Okay. So interesting fact about Crete Seeker, that this fabulous basalt stack in the 1950s was actually in danger of sea erosion. So locals pulled together and reinforced the base with concrete to ensure this natural gem would not be taken away by the unforgiving North Atlantic Ocean. But on with the story. So the legend has it that Crete Seeker was a troll from the edge of the West Fjords. And just like all trolls, he despised churches, God, and anyone who attended or believed. And well, apparently, he could hear the church bells at Thingrakirkja every Sunday from across the fjord somehow. And that's where he lived, and it would always wake him up. Like, think, you're trying to, like, sleep in Sunday morning, and these freaking church bells are going off for forever and a day, because I do feel like even the church bells in my town, the bells go for quite a long time. And it is kind of annoying sometimes when you're not expecting it.
Isn't it on the hour every hour that it like dings twice
no,
or something?
Not in Selfoss.
Oh, lucky.
Maybe you're descendant from trolls then.
Maybe, like, maybe I'm a descendant of trolls.
It's like a part of your troll genes. That's like
remembering the old age.
Yeah. Being like driven away by the church bells.
I would speak to your therapist about that.
Thanks, guys. I'm like getting ganged up on my troll episode. Like,
no, we love you.
I said a new troll therapy.
All right. Enough from the peanut gallery. Here we go. Okay, so he lived across this fjord, heard the church bells, right? We're back on track here. So Thingrakirkja for those of you that are curious, is a beautiful stone church that is in North Iceland. So one day, after the troll had had enough of those ringing church bells, he decided to swim across the fjord as soon as dusk came. His plan was to demolish the church and those annoying church bells so that he could sleep in peace. However, the trip took him longer than he had planned. And while on his way to shore, the sun rose and he was turned to stone. And now most people think the stone resembles a troll bending down to drink water or a troll trying to scramble up to the shore on all fours. What do you think, Vanessa?
Yeah, it sounds like more like he's, I don't think he's drinking water if he's in a hurry home. I think he's like desperately trying to make it before.
Yeah. And David has already called that he thinks that it was a troll that was
Yeah, it's
frozen.
Like crawling. It's on like 4 feet.
Trying to go up the cliffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the second most famous rock troll example that I have for you today is called Lundrangar, which translates to Lagoon Pillar Cliff, which is another massive volcanic sea stack that is situated on the southern coast of the Snæfellsnes Peninsula. It's not far away from the town of Helna or the famed Mararif Lighthouse. According to folklore, Lundrangar was a troll couple that was actually on a date. And it wasn't just any troll either. It's said that the man was the king of the trolls, and the other was his forbidden lover. There they were, taking a long stroll along the shoreline, completely enamored with each other for hours. But they weren't paying attention to the time or how the light was changing from night to dawn. And before they could flee, the sunlight made them frozen in place and in time forever. So when you look at the rock formations in the sea, you can see the resemblance of these two lovers staring at each other, literally sitting and staring at each other in the sea. The troll king stands at 75 meters or 246 feet, and the lover is at 61 meters or 200 feet.
I think that's super romantic because like maybe like they would have gone on the date and then like their love would have like drifted apart, but their love gets to stay forever. I think it's cute.
Sorry. I do too. But then it kind of makes me wonder who was the king of the trolls after that?
Someone less romantic.
Do you think the trolls die? Or are they like locked in the rock, still being conscious? Are they staring at each other?
That's kind of morbid. I never really thought about that.
Their love is burning, but they're separated by time and distance and they can't touch each other or say anything.
Stop ruining it, Davi.
That's a little morbid.
It's totally the other way around. They're still in love and they're happy.
Yeah.
And they get to see the sun rise and set because now it's no longer a threat. Oh, that rhymed.
Okay. My third Icelandic rock troll is from Drangey, which is an iconic island located in the Skagafjord in North Iceland. It's an isolated place that all kinds of birds take refuge and nest there. For example, you can experience puffins to eider ducks and so many more species there. The island is grassy and very steep with cliffs that are like, I don't know, like 180 meters high. So it's like just under 600 feet. And before 1755, there was a total of like three stacks out there. Even though only one stands today. Also, for our adventure seekers out there, you can actually go to visit this island with our folks at Drangey Tours between June 1st to August 20th. And outside of this period by appointment or special arrangement. I'll link them to you in the show notes today if you're curious and want to pay a visit when you guys come to Iceland. But back to the story. It's said that a husband and wife troll were a couple who had a farm together on one side of the fjord. I'm picturing like Hofsås, the tiny like little town that's off that fjord. And they noticed that their cow was in heat. So they wanted to find a bull for her to mate with. Therefore, they thought the easiest and quickest way would be to cross the fjord to find one. through the water, right? However, the trek took longer than they had planned, and they were not able to make it all the way or find a cave for them to hide from the dawn. So the three of them were all there and turned into petrified rock trolls in the sea alongside of the island. And it's said that Drange, the cow, stood between the husband and wife. However, over time, since the cow was smaller than the giant trolls, it has been covered by erosion and ocean waves. You know, unforgiving North Atlantic, right? It happens. Then in 1755, there was an earthquake that made the husband, that rock, collapse. So now just the lone widow stands by herself next to the island. You're like giving me a sad face, Vanessa.
Yeah, now she's all alone. At least she's like, at least the other couple were together.
Did you ever wonder when you've seen this island? You've been up north more times than I can count.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about what the story was behind that lone rock out there?
I mean, now I do.
And you will forever know.
Yeah, but it's sad because she's all by herself.
It is super sad. I agree.
Well, I'm glad I'm not a troll because I would definitely be turned to a rock because I have no sense of time.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. All right. So the fourth iconic rock troll in Iceland is in the picturesque village of Vík í Mýrdal, my future home, our future home, Davíð. Are you excited to hear the story?
Yeah. I love this one.
I know. This is a favorite of mine as well. So Vík is on Iceland's southern coast, and there are several intriguing rock formations that are said to be trolls frozen in time. And these rock trolls, known locally as Reynisdrangar, which translates to Reynis's Cliffs, basically, right? They rise dramatically out of the Atlantic Ocean. In fact, there are three different viewing points you can experience these beautiful basalt stacks from. The first one is that you can see them from Reynisfjara, that side, which is likely the most touristy. So if you have been here to Iceland, you've probably been on that beach. The second is from the top of Reynisfjall, which is the top of that mountain that is in Vík. We have a perfect view from our future home of this fabulous mountain, which you can hike up to from the village. Third, you can see them from another perspective on Vík Fjara, Vík Beach as well. And all three of those locations are open for you guys to hike to and visit. The volcanic basalt stacks stand at 216 meters or 1,115 feet tall, and they are always covered by ocean waves, regardless of the tide time. And the legend has it that Reynisdrangar, the rocks, were once a husband and wife who were banished by the king of Denmark. They had to leave Denmark on their three-mast ship, and so they were sailing around to try to find a new home, and they spotted a large cave on the beaches of Reynisfjara and thought that would be the perfect place to start their lives over. However, their ship was heavy, and the two tried with all of their might to drag the ship onto the shore before the sun's rays came, but they failed. They were unable to escape its rays, leading to their transformation into the towering basalt stacks that we see today. The Reynisdrangar rocks are not only steeped in myth and legend, but also serve as an incredibly vital part of the local ecosystem of Vík, as they are home to numerous seabirds, including puffins and fulmars, who nest in the cliffs during breeding season. Visitors who come to Vík can admire the Reynisdrangar rocks from the three viewpoints I described earlier, if you guys wish. But the black sand beaches of Reynisfjara probably have the best contrasts, and the cave that they were trying to get to before turning to stone. However, it is important that if you do visit this place, that you heed the warnings of local guides, authorities, and the signs that are throughout in this area, because it is incredibly dangerous due to the crazy currents and unpredictable sneaker waves that are all around.
One of my favorite spots. I drive on the highway quite often when you're coming in from the east, driving towards Vík. You get the view that fits in with the story. whenever the wind is blowing, the fog is really thick. If you like gaze out to them, it almost seems as if they're moving. And I've caught myself a couple of times imagining that they're actually walking away and I half expect them to be gone the next time I drive by.
I like it. Super fun. All right, guys. Now on to my personal favorite rock troll. Are you guys ready for it?
Hell yeah. Always.
Go for it.
So his name is Toti, which actually, what would Toti be like short for?
Thordur.
Okay.
Or Thorarin.
Yeah. I mean, Toti all the way. That is really hard to say.
Thorkell.
Okay. You can just keep going. Okay. So Vanessa, have I introduced you to Toti before we've traveled the Highlands together?
Yes.
You remember Toti?
No.
Oh. And actually, I should ask, like, Davi, do you want to tell the story instead?
About Toti?
Yeah.
Toti the Toothless.
Yeah, Toti the Toothless. Okay. But let me give our listeners a little background on where we can find Toti, because this is going to be a little bit more of a scavenger hunt for you, because I'm not going to exactly describe where it is. I'm just going to give you the general area, because it's an isolated area of the Highlands and you need to have the right vehicle to get up there. Okay, so Toti can be found within the Fjallabak Nature Reserve. And not many people know his story. So I'm going to like hand the torch over to Davith because he's going to tell this story way better than I can. So you guys are going to hear it and we're going to hope that his legacy continues.
Yeah. But as Anne said, Toti is in the Fjallabak Reserve. And the name translates to mountain back. And from the backside of these massive mountains that are down by the sea. And in Iceland, people only live by the seaside. As soon as you go and land, it's the realm of ghosts and trolls, elves and bandits and other creatures that Anne and Vanessa will introduce you to probably later, and I already have. But there are roads and paths that go through these areas. And one day, a farmer was heading to the market or heading to Reykjavik or whoever, or whatever, no one knows. And as the farmer is making his way through there, he's set upon by a large troll. And this is Toti, Toti the laughing troll. And the farmer is immediately captured by Toti. He can't run away, he can't fight him, and he's got no hope. But as they're walking, to wherever Toti is taking him, his lair or his cave or the canyon that he lives in. Toti starts talking to the farmer. And Toti is actually rather pleasant to talk to. And the farmer has kind of lost all hope at this point and he's just talking to Toti. And he starts telling him stories and he gets Toti to laugh. And Toti laughs so hard that he actually can't walk, he stops. And the farmer realizes that this is one chance of surviving. And he starts telling Toti one joke after another, all the funniest stories that he's heard throughout his life. And luckily the farmer knows enough jokes and enough stories to keep Toti laughing through the night. And Toti's laughing so hard that he's lost track of time. And then the farmer notices that the sun is rising and he doesn't stop telling his stories. And as he's telling his final punchline, the sun rises and turns Toti into stone. And to this day, hundreds of years later, Toti can still be seen laughing by the side of the road. But at this point, there's been so much time that has passed by that there's moss and grass growing on the top of his head. So it looks like he's wearing a little wig, making him even more comical.
Yeah, like a toupee.
That's super fun.
Yeah, it's like real life. Like I drive by this rock and it looks like this troll has one giant tooth and a toupee. And the rule is, guys, that if you guys ever pass Toti, the rule is that you guys have to stop for a few minutes and tell him a joke. That is just like how you pay homage to this fabulous troll in the Icelandic Highlands. It's a good story, right? Tootsie the Laughing Troll.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite. So which rock troll was your favorite, Vanessa?
I think we all know.
The couple
that are together forever, stuck in love.
Oh, Lone Drongar.
Yeah, not morbidly dreading their life decisions, but happily in love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like it. David, which one was your favorite?
I've already said so. It's Reynir Drongar.
Yeah.
The trolls with the ship out by Vík. And they're just so perfectly formed when you look at them from the correct angle.
Truth. Tóti all the way for me, though, guys. Sorry. All right. So as we conclude our fabulous discovery of these notable rock formations, we are truly reminded of the never-ending legacy that Icelandic folklore brings. And that's like our mission here, guys. We want to continue to share these fabulous stories with you guys. And it's truly a profound connection between the landscapes and the people that these stories bring together. Hey, it's brought us together today, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So join us next time as we uncover more eerie happenings from the land of fire and ice. And until then, we hope this leaves you dreaming of your next trip to Iceland. And remember, if you like what you hear, guys, and want to support us, rate us 5 stars. The day that you thank you so much for venturing into the dark side of Iceland with us. We hope our stories resonate with you.
Stay tuned for more Nightmare Worthy podcasts. And if you want to hear more, give us a follow on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. You can also find us on Instagram at Eerie Iceland and by searching Eerie Iceland on Facebook.
See you next time.